Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Story Break, the Writer's Room podcast where three and sometimes four Hollywood professionals have 1 hour to turn a humble idea into a pitch for an awesome movie. I am your host, Freddie Wong.
My name is Will Campos. I'm a screenwriter and I am dressed to kill down at Dino's Bar and Grill. And if I want to fight, you better let me.
I'm Matt Arnold. I'm the co-host of Story Break and also the host of this episode of Story Break, as they're all in my house. So this is
that's
very,
right. We are.
Yeah, I've got some fizzies, some fizzy water, and some Coke Zero just for me. And Will is on a stool because I don't have enough chairs.
Great hosting, Matt.
Yep.
And joining us this week, friend, co-conspirator at one point.
Unindicted fellow, co-conspirator.
Unindicted co-conspirator.
Hear that, Hillary Clinton?
The very funny, very talented co-creator, Video Game High School, Brian Forenzi.
Thank you, guys.
Oh. Ryan's back in town.
I am back. It feels like the boys truly are back in town, right?
And I should throw into that creator, co-creator, 5 Second Films.
That's right. Yeah. And the Sega CD Games Twitter.
That's right. Yes. How could we forget Sega CD Games?
Yes. Who could ever forget those amazing games?
Wait, is that well known that you're the person behind Sega CD Games?
It's not. It keeps coming up. I was actually on Kevin Pereira's podcast last week.
No shit.
And I dropped that. I thought he knew. And both he and his producer were like, what? That's you? But I think like once you know that it's me, you're like, okay, I get it. This guy
does a bunch of weird shit.
Yeah, like immediately the veil falls.
Okay.
So because we've got the whole VGHS writer's room back in the room for this podcast, the first thing I said when I walked in was the boys are back in town. And the first thing Brian said was that's what we should do for the episode. And then someone said it should be a Christmas episode. So here we are. The boys are back in town for Christmas. Hallmark has called us with the rights to the song, and they want us to do a Hallmark Christmas movie.
Also, one quick note, you might hear my cat, Plato, who does not enjoy other males in the household.
And it's just too many alphas in this
room. I can already tell, already, he usually sleeps all day. There's three other guys here. He's already running around and purposely scratching the couch.
He's getting closer and closer. He's like, I'm going to have to cuck some of these betas.
He's circling me.
You might. I hear him, and I might have to like step away to stop him from purposely scratching the couch while staring at me.
Stop cucking my friend.
Like a little asshole. Okay.
Oh no!
In preparation for this podcast, you built him a pillow fort.
Yeah, it's like a little.
Give him the world, and this is how he repays you.
I put a blanket in between two pillows to give him a little fort because that calms him down, and then he'll stay in there. But he's not. He is staring.
We'll post a picture of the pillow fort online so that you can all see that Plato is not interested in staying.
You might also see we bought him a new bed, which Ashley instantly regrets because he doesn't sleep in the bed as much as just try to fuck it. And Ashley can't stand him sitting there on the couch having sex with the bed. I have also left that out, so you might see him do that.
To be fair, that was basically me and my Casper mattress.
Subscribe now to our silver tier, and you can watch a cat fuck a bed. Please give generously to our patron. One guy in Milpitas is like, oh my God.
What's the high? His mouse wheel just scrolling down to the highest tier possible.
You heard it here first, this week's Maximum Fun Story Break bonus episode. Okay, let's talk about this song, guys. Boys are back in town. This is a classic by Thin Lizzy. Mm-hmm.
Is this a dad rock song?
This is the quintessential dad rock song.
It is. It is the quintessential dad rock
song.
When
dad gets together with his boys.
Yeah.
So I'm going to give you guys a quick taste of the lyrics, and then we can talk about what we each personally love about this song.
Okay.
Guess who just got back today? Them wild-eyed boys that had been away. Haven't changed, haven't much to say, but man, I still think them cats are crazy. They were asking if you were around, Freddie. How you was, where you could be found. I told him you were living downtown, driving all the old men crazy. Probably not Freddy.
This is a menace. Well, yes, actually.
No. I feel like the narrator of this song made a mistake by telling these boys where
it's like a scary character.
It
feels like a horror
you
song.
You told them?
Wild-eyed boys?
The wild-eyed boys. So the boys are back in town.
Who had not changed? Just the feral humans like hunting you down.
My favorite part is their eyes.
Yeah.
How wild they are.
The boys are back in town again. You know that chick that used to dance a lot. Every night she'd be on the floor shaking what she got. When I say she was cool, she was red hot. I mean, she was steaming. and that time over at Johnny's place. Well, this chick got up and slapped Johnny's face. Man, we just fell about the place. If that chick don't want to know, forget her. The boys are back in town, etc. Mm-hmm. Spread the word around.
These boys sound like they suck.
They're not nice boys.
They seem like douchebags.
So this was used, just a little trivia, this was used in 2012 for the Republican National Convention to introduce Paul Ryan. This unauthorized use of the song caused controversy. Both Lynette's mother, Philomena Lynette, and Thin Lizzy lead guitarist criticized his use, suggesting that Lynette would not have wanted his music used for any political use. So, yeah.
We're almost done. There's only one more part. But it's very important, because this next part of the song is, I think, a crucial part of the boy mythos.
It's act three, if you will.
Friday night, they'll be dressed to kill down at Dino's Bar and Grill. Mm. The drink will flow and the blood will spill. And if the boys want to fight, you better let them. That jukebox in the corner, blast down my favorite song. The nights are getting warmer. It won't be long. Won't be long till summer comes, now that the boys are here again. So I think we can learn a couple of things from this. First of all, it's just a feel-good jam. It's just a hard rocking song that makes you feel good when your boys are back in town.
About a town kept in a thrall by this fucking menace.
Yeah, this feels like Raising Arizona-esque, where like somebody has a normal life and then his boys come back and want to just fuck the shit up and go to the bar and beat up people again and all this other stuff.
He's put behind that life,
what it feels like.
And they tell stories about him, like, hey man, remember when that stripper slapped you in the face? And his wife is like, what are they talking about? You never told me about that. Honey, I really didn't think these boys would show up.
My friend fucking
It's like
Dwayne
history of and- violence, but...
yeah. But frat bros.
It's history of violence with a lot more steel reserve. Wait, how many boys are we talking about? They never are clear.
That's true.
How many boys?
The number of boys is not quite...
It's at least more than two.
If we get Ridley Scott, it has to be 1,000 boys just descending like Gladiator on...
I feel like it's one of those riddles, like you read the poem, and at the end they're like, how many boys were there?
Yeah. You're like, oh, jeez. If one boy is traveling towards Dino's place at 40 miles an hour.
And then the doctor says, I can't operate on this man. He's my boy.
So you remember that Stephen King short novel, The Storm of the Century? Where this guy shows up, I only watched the miniseries, but this guy, this evil demon kind of guy shows up and is like, mm-hmm. I want all your children. And they eventually, it ends with them giving it up, otherwise he'll destroy the whole town. Mm-hmm. So they give him all their kids and he takes them away. What if these were all boys and they all come back? And so this town,
like close
they're
encounters?
Everyone's boys.
So this is like, okay, so it's like a Christmas miracle where all the kids... Where all the kids are taken.
I like how I started with Stephen King horror short, and you're like, so it's a Christmas miracle.
And then, like, at the end of Close Encounters, all the children are returned to the town.
Yeah.
And just in time. But then the secret is, it's only for Christmas. The boys are going to get taken back.
Oh, and they've got wild eyes, like the Tommyknockers. Like the fucking Village of the Damned.
Isn't
oh my
it great
God.
That all of our boys are back? They're like, I don't know, they seem a little different.
They haven't changed, but they haven't much to say.
Yes. Yeah.
They descend on Johnny's, a silent horde on Dino's.
The blood will spill. You must let it.
Blood will spill.
Okay, so there's a lot going on here.
It's an ominous song when you put it that way.
Yeah. Well, it's ominous regardless. These boys want to fight, and you have to let them. I mean, it's terrifying.
They're terrible boys.
Yeah.
So I want to talk for a second about this. Is all very good. I want to talk about the narrator of this song is also something that's interesting to me,
right?
Because it's like the narrator seems like a boy who never left.
Yeah,
right. Because he's like very excited for the return of the boys.
Yeah.
He's like the Herald of Galactus or something like that.
Yeah.
But like he's like, I think they're crazy. They were, and then he's talking to someone like you, like an unnamed, I think, woman.
And he's had a history. And he's had a history with the boys because he's able to reminisce about the time they slapped.
If you listen to the song, it sounds like he's excited, but I guess maybe he could be like, this is like, you know, like a through gritted teeth warning or something.
But
like
the feel of the song is fucking rock and roll. Like, it feels
these
like
are
he's
rowdy
a, like,
boys.
Yeah,
yeah.
He feels excited about it.
This is a four on the floor.
Yeah.
Like, full on oral mayhem. Like, gas up your Harley. Yeah. Going right.
This dude is pumped. This dude wishes he's one of the boys.
He's happy the boys are back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like that he wishes he was one of the boys.
Yeah. Because he didn't get to go with the other boys.
Yeah.
You know? And like, he's
on the spaceship. On the spaceship.
On Santa's spaceship.
Oh my God! What if Santa was
what if
the
Santa
one
took
who
the boys away and made them elves?
Yeah, what? This is where elves come from.
This is also called Santa's Coming to Town.
Yes.
Okay. The boys in Santa Claus is coming back to town again. Dino's.
I like, just for the time being, that it's set at Christmas. You know? Mm-hmm. Like we do kind of almost like how Shane Black movies are set at Christmas.
Yeah, just because.
Yeah, but I really like that this guy, I mean, he's a tragic figure because mm-hmm. he wanted to be a boy.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
he never got to be one of the boys, and he knows all their stories. I imagine he always tells the same five stories.
Oh, the same.
Oh, yeah.
You remember that one time?
Dino's and Johnny's.
Yeah, Dino's and Johnny's.
The ones that are in the song.
And yeah. Johnny's like, I get it. I have kids now.
Yeah, exactly. And even the boys are like sick of it. Yeah.
Okay. We're going with the alien thing, right? Are we?
let's hang on to that for a second.
Let's just back pocket the alien abduction angle.
I mean, sure. I guess to be fair, that's not something you can just slip in later. It kind of feels like are you doing it or
okay,
not?
Okay. All right. Just because I want to chase it down before we throw it back in the story ocean. So it would be like, I'm interested by the idea that Santa Claus abducted these boys and.
Here's what it would be. Imagine it was like a rowdy Irish town, right?
Okay.
And then one year, all the boys were taken on a spaceship, right?
So
there's
far,
like it's
so
kind
good.
Of like, it reminds me of kind of like post the Civil War, post World War One or Two, where there's like just towns that have no men of a certain age because mm-hmm. they were all killed. Like Russia, like 80% of boys right. born in like 3 years was dead, right?
Mm-hmm.
So like. This guy has grown up in a town full of old men, younger men, and women.
Oh.
Because all the boys were taken. So he never had a chance to, like, explore his adolescence, right? Yeah. He never got to be wild because all of his kids his age were taken.
Mm-hmm. And he couldn't go. He couldn't serve because of bone spurs, or what are we talking
about? Oh, I wasn't. No, the aliens. No, they didn't go to war. They went on an alien spaceship.
Right.
Why didn't Santa Claus?
He didn't believe in Christmas.
Holy shit. His parents fucking were like, yeah, it's just us. And then Santa came and was like, what the fuck was that, Mom? Yeah.
He told everyone at school that Santa Claus wasn't real.
Yeah.
And then Santa Claus showed up and took all of his friends away.
Yeah, except him.
Why? This is an important question. Why just the boys?
It's him in a town with like 100 girls.
That feels slightly important.
I don't want to be heteronormative.
It's either the beginning of a porno or the ending of one. Like, I don't know where we are here.
Santa Claus came and took all the boys. Why not the girls?
I don't want to be like all like gender normative or whatever. Are there girl elves?
There are no elves, but in terms of as represented,
you pedantic fuck. Of course, there's girl elves.
Yeah. I mean, I just watched the movie Elf, and in Elf there are girl elves.
Okay.
And then in the other
Lord of the
canon,
Rings,
yeah,
there's that one girl.
Yes, those sort of elves. Yeah,
there's
these
Arwen
women elves.
And in the
Santa Claus, there's like that one girl elf that like tapes up the guy with the duct tape and spins him around.
Really Aerosmith's daughter is a girl elf. Okay.
Oh, that's right.
I don't get it.
Famously.
Lizzie.
Thin Lizzie.
Aerosmith's daughter.
Aerosmith gave birth to Thin Lizzie.
Because if an alien ship came down, so I go back to this, but an alien ship came down, it's like, we're going to take all your children. You'd be like, oh no, we got to stop this. But if they came down, you got to take all your children. One sec. Just the boys, though. You'd be like 10 times more weirded out.
Yeah.
That's true.
The specificity would freak you out.
Yeah.
I'm trying to square that circle. I think it's an intriguing problem. Maybe like...
Okay, so this is like back in the 50s. Maybe Santa needed to recruit boys for a war. There was a war on Christmas.
There
was a war on Christmas. And Santa being, you know, the kind
the
of
the liberals
old,
were calling
tiny,
it Xmas, and he needed all the boys from this Irish town.
He saw it as a gratitude he was giving the little girls of the town. He wasn't going to steal them. You know, he needs boys to fight the war.
Santa Claus is old-fashioned.
Yeah, Santa Claus is very old-fashioned. He didn't mean anything by it. It's just like, you know.
He's just an old-fashioned guy.
He came down, he said, darling and honey, a bunch, and took all the boys to go fight a war on Christmas.
It was kind of charming, but kind of possessive.
He said a few things that you let slide under the rug, because we're all here, we're all drinking cocoa.
You want your presents. I don't want to piss them off.
So Santa kidnaps a town full of boys and forces them to work as slaves in his workshop. And then when they reach adulthood, maybe, like when they're longer boys, when they're men.
Pliable, supple hands.
Yeah, because they don't have the tiny baby hands anymore.
To solder all those iPhones that all the kids are asking for.
You do, this guy is 18, and he's like, it's time to settle down. He's like, I got the pick of the litter. All the women, I'm the only one they can marry. He's like thinking about who he's going to ask to marry him. He's got like 7 suitors, and then all the boys come back in town. And they're all buff and like, they've like, gone to war.
They have the crazy war. Eyes that the girls just go wild for. By the way,
he's
by
like,
the way.
What's going on? I stayed here. I did work.
I love this. I absolutely love this. I love this. I just want to point out one other thing. This guy is going to be telling stories about a bunch of boys getting slapped in the face by strippers and starting fights at Dino's. He's like, remember that time? And they're like, I was 6.
You idiot. I really don't like you, but you're literally the only boy in town, and we have to get, one of us has to get married. So I guess we'll marry. It's like, I don't know if I bring the movie up a lot because it's a wild movie, but it's like, 7 brides for 7 brothers, but from the perspective of the town, which is just 7 hunky lumberjacks all live in the forest. They're like, you know what? It's time for wives. And they just go down to the town. Like, it's we got to find 7 wives.
I remember my sister's high school put that on as a musical, and I think that might be the last time in recorded history anyone's tried that. Because there's an entire sequence where the brides escape, and they have to like hunt them down. And everyone in the audience was just like slack-jawed. Like, and then it was like, okay, it's a mid-act break. Time to go get cookies for $1. We were all shell shocked. But so what
so
I like
that's
this
like
is,
that, but this guy, is the non-lumberjack who's in town.
Yeah, and he's the only bachelor, so he considers himself the most eligible bachelor. But no one has wanted to get with this guy. He's been like working on his portfolio. He's like trying so hard to be liked, and it's just the desperation is clear.
Yeah. You can just smell it. You smell it.
Okay. This feels like a minefield. Like, just tell.
Story break presents a problematic Christmas.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
So we probably want to walk back from that.
Let's look at the mess we made and see if there's anything there that we can pick out.
I think definitely, but the main character being this guy who like really loves and remembers the boys, and he's so excited for him to be back in town, but of course it's not going to be as he thought it was.
Yes, that's the emotional core of the song.
Yeah, it's
essentially
old
school.
It's like, it's a guy...
You can't go home again.
Yeah. Or you can't have home come back to your home again.
Right, yeah.
So...
Maybe it's like they had a band, right? And he played trumpet in the band or something.
Trumpet? And Scott.
But like he's fallen on hard times, and the doctor tells him, like, if you blow one more toot on your horn, you might die. But he really wants to play with these boys again, and it's a great risk to his health.
Yeah.
What about that? There's your conflict.
I didn't.
Your conflict. A man finally plays the trumpet and dies. Yeah.
That is your Netflix summary.
This, by the way, is why it took VGHS so long
to get made. When's season 4 coming out? Hang on, we're just thinking about how everyone gets stolen by a large man.
Okay, Santa Claus was fighting a Christmas war, and he came to this Irish town in 19...
He traded them their boys...
So it's like a kid's allegory for World War II.
For World War II, and he traded the... He traded them toys for boys.
Toys for boys. That's where the myth of Santa. What if this was? Myth of Santa?
What if the kid sold out all the other boys in town for toys?
Oh
wait,
wow.
Maybe the good boys get toys. The bad boys get taken to the Christmas war.
Okay, so
that's how Santa works. You don't get lumped.
Cole stands for the Coalition of
Serve Boy.
The coalition.
The coalition. That's fucking money. That's just money in the bank.
Santa rolled in and was like, I need the baddest boys this town has.
Yeah, because he needs some fucking hard bros to fuck people up.
And the town knows they're coming, right? So they hide all the boys like in the like high school like basement. And so they're all hiding there. And he's the one boy. Our main character.
Like the beginning of Twister?
Yeah. But instead of a cyclone, it's Santa. And he's the one boy. He's like, he ran back out for his toy or something. And he's like, and he's the last one. And Santa just steps down. We see his boots first. And like, the camera pans up and he's like, where are they? And he dimes them out. He dimes out all the boys. And he's like, you've been good. And he fixes his toy for him. Oh. And they're not. And then he like, yeah,
the toy.
He's got the fucking toy. He's got the toy. That's the objective correlative.
Oh my God.
Yes.
Okay, that's the start. All right.
Let's just stick with it.
Yes.
I do like this.
Swim upstream for so long.
I do like this.
I love that people would be like, man, I can't wait to see a movie called The Boys Are Back in Town. And they hear the song. They get in their mind. First shot. Santa's boots. Like that cold open.
Dude.
And then as soon as he takes away, you kick off the song.
Yeah.
And the title slams down, red and green font.
He's driving a Mustang. He's 18. He's like,
he's like the only dude in town. He just thinks he's so fucking cool.
He hasn't grown up.
He drives into high school, he like does a donut and accidentally smashes into a bunch of other cars. He sucks.
Yeah.
Yeah,
he sucks.
Okay, so yes. All right. So we have a boy who sold out all the other boys, right?
Frog.
And they got abducted for Santa's Christmas war. And then we cut to, and now he's the bratty boy king of this town,
yeah,
right?
Because
he's their very special boy. So it's like, it's a classic Christmas story, right? Like, he's a little brat, you know, who thinks he's the shit, and then something's going to come, and then, the boys are going to come back.
Dude, you realize,
what did you do to the town,
how
bro?
Fucking pissed those boys would be.
You have any idea? So many of their ranks have thinned.
We thought you were dead. It's like, no, I've been here.
I was right there with you guys. Sir, did you not remember?
Did you see the exit? I said, hey, guys, exit. I thought you were behind me. What does the town feel about what happened 4 years ago?
Because there's two ways that you could do this. You could do this that he clambers out of the high school gym like basement, and he sees like the parents getting like the shit kicked out of them by Santa's like reindeer and shit. They're like, "Where the fuck are these boys?" And they all know that he did it. Or did he stumble into the woods and it's him by himself? And it's like the town doesn't even realize it. And there's like, you must be the chosen one or whatever. Right? You know what I mean?
I think it's a lie. I think he lied and said that he didn't do it.
Yeah.
You know?
No one knows that he did it.
See, that's the thing. Because I feel like when you're that's your internal conflict. You know, you carry that regret. Yeah.
Okay, so I need to clarify because I was laughing too hard. How exactly did the boy sell out all the kids?
Okay, because the idea is that, yes, all of the other boys were hiding in the school basement.
Yes. Santa was coming.
He left this dumb kid left his toy outside.
I gotta get my toy.
His Buzz Lightyear doll, his favorite toy of all time. And so he snuck out into the snow to go get it. He was just gonna run back out and get it and go back in and hide with the other boys. Uh-huh. And then, holy shit, it's the man. It's Santa Claus. And then to Brian's point, the boots crunch on the snow. No, he towers over him and he says, "Where are the boys?" And he rats them out because he's scared. And
then don't take me, I'll tell you where all the boys are.
Yeah, and then Santa fixes his toy and says, "You're a good boy," and then gets all of the other ones.
This is like some Gestapo.
This is really like, how do we come back from, like, how does this character,
how do you like this character?
He's
got to
be super regretful, you know? Yeah. He's got to be like carrying this shame with him.
Oh, yeah, well, but it externalizes as this, like, carefree partying, you know, he doesn't want to feel the bad feelings, so he acts out and raises hell and all that stuff.
Okay,
But I think, yes, you could do something like the rest of the town, see, he's like the miracle child, right?
Yeah.
Like, he's the one that lived or whatever. He's like Harry Potter.
Yeah.
So they lavish praise. He probably gets, like, you know.
So are they terrified? Is the town, what is the myth of Santa in this town or in this world of this movie? Like, is this like a surprise? Like, clearly the fact that all these kids were hiding makes it feel like this is some like lottery level horror story where like the town knows Santa comes and takes their children.
Yeah, I imagine it's like maybe, because I'm also like, what is this town? Is this like, because you could also do like, we're in a magical world, right? Mm-hmm. And it's called Christmas Town or whatever, right? Or Presentville. And, like maybe like there's all these towns and like every year like there's a culling, right? Mm-hmm. And then like a black X shows up in the snow in the town square, and that's how you know your town has been marked. And Santa Claus is coming to town, right?
Yeah.
Do we perhaps age up this main character so when we cut back to him in the present day, he's like 40. He's like in his 40s and he has a boy that's gonna get
not bad, yeah.
Okay, so.
And then he needs the boys who he betrayed to help him save his son.
Exactly.
Something yeah. like
Ooh,
that.
That's,
maybe.
That's a spice of conflict.
Ooh, but they're not going to be too quick to forgive him.
Yeah, because he did sell them into a lifetime of
servitude.
Well,
they can't. That's the thing. I feel like they don't know that he did that, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
no,
because if they know already.
No, this is a good big secret.
It's a big secret.
What would cause him to ever?
I'm just trying to think
it?
About. I'm looking at the lyrics of the
it's
song.
The lyrics of the
and
song.
I'm trying to think about a kid who sold out all. All the boys were all kidnapped by Santa, and then he finds out they're coming back, and he starts singing the song as it is.
Can you imagine Thin Lizzy being so disappointed with what we've done? Yeah. Like watching the movie version of this thing.
Like Paul Ryan was one entirely. Thing, but this
is worse than when Paul Ryan used it at the RNC. Okay, really quick, back to Santa here for a second. I just want to try to understand this. So. Is it just Santa takes children from this one town, like every 20 years in a Hunger Games-esque type? Like,
no, I think he roams
the landscape.
Or does
he go from town to town?
I think he goes
Ireland?
From town to town in like this on the on like the coastline of this country, like Ireland. Yeah.
Yeah.
I would say maybe you do like is like I don't know. Maybe it's like Battle Royale, and like you know, in Battle Royale, it's like whatever the shittiest school in the Japanese public school system has to do the Battle Royale. Mm-hmm. Like maybe it is like whatever town has the naughtiest boys, like their boys mm-hmm. get taken mm-hmm. to because he's like you know he's like it's always the naughty boys that turn everyone else naughty. You know, it's like you gotta like that. It's you know
it's,
like
that's
this
their
is
propaganda.
This is Sam. This is Santa's kill one, terrorize 10,000 mm-hmm. thing to get people to obey. Right.
Maybe the reason, because I'm just not to be pedantic, but I'm like, okay, if he can take it from any town, like how did this town get picked twice in 20 years? But then maybe you make that part of it is mm-hmm. like he's like, well, you know, Santa takes boys from one town every year for his Christmas war or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then I feel like Santa comes ahead of time. Like, you are the town that's chosen. I will return in 10 days. Prepare
right.
your children.
Prepare your boys.
Yeah, prepare
right.
your boys. Only boys. I would like boys.
Yeah.
So then it's like Santa shows up, like this guy, yes, he's middle-aged and he has a boy of his own, and Santa comes up, and all the townspeople are terrified. They're like, how, what, but we were just chosen 20 years ago, and then Santa was walking away, and he goes up to him, he's like, I'm back for your son. Yeah. Nobody escapes me.
His son is really
naughty.
He walks
away. You're like, no, you can't escape Santa.
Yeah.
He escaped that year, but he's going to take
you're going to have to give up the most precious toy of all, your son.
Yeah.
Don't you remember? I literally said, you can keep that toy if you give me your firstborn child, and you were 9, so you said yes.
You had no concept.
Okay, that's pretty good.
It's like a student loan. It's like, I didn't know what I was signing up for Santa. Yeah. It's not fair.
Santa is Fannie Mae.
Yeah.
So then, like, what's so then is the goal then to kill Santa Claus? Do you know what I mean? Like, is it to throw off the yoke of the oppressor?
Yes.
Yeah.
I think they have to kill Santa by the end of this movie.
Yeah,
he's clearly
killing Santa.
He's clearly a terrifying force of nature, and his reign has to be stopped. He abducts boys.
Like, yeah. And it ends with them looking at each other and being like, happy holidays.
Right. Does he need to lead a rebellion against those that like with those that he betrayed?
Yeah, with those that he betrayed.
To convince them to brainwash them because they are now Santa's soldiers and he's going to use them to rise up against Santa.
Yes.
Yes.
I think that's true. I think is
they're
well,
gonna use the guerrilla tactics that Santa taught them.
Yeah, they're gonna use Santa's own tactics. Okay. Who is the war against?
Yeah, who is Santa fighting?
The Jews.
I feel like we were all thinking this because it's like, what else could it fucking
what else
be?
Could it be? It's
like
other
against
religion.
Bad thoughts.
It's other
religion. Like,
it's other religion.
That would make Santa Hitler. So
yeah, I mean, let's see.
Oh man, that got so heavy.
That got real. But I mean,
the
come
Easter
on,
Bunny.
The war on Christmas. It's secularism. I don't know what Santa could be fighting
the
against.
Fairy.
There's some like evil thing and Santa thought he was fighting.
Well, I mean, it could just be,
or
so
it becomes like Shadows of the Colossus, and it's like, I have defeated you, Santa. He's like, you fool.
Yeah.
I'm the only one stopping this world from being consumed by Nigloroth, the Cthulhu god of the stars. You idiot. And then you're like, well, Azeroth.
Okay, I had a thought on the ending. which would be after they kill Santa Claus, right?
Okay.
The kid doesn't understand what was going on and what happened and who Santa Claus was and all this stuff. Mm-hmm. So these guys make up this story because they can't. The idea of Santa Claus is too terrible to bear. And he was such a hatred. He was such a hated blight upon the world. And they know the best way to get revenge on Santa Claus wouldn't be to lionize him as this demon,
that's
right?
True, yeah.
It would be to ruin his legacy of cruelty by telling the kid that like Santa Claus was this kind old man who gave toys to everybody. Like that's right. How the myth of Santa Claus was born.
Okay, so wow. What we're saying is the myth of Santa was born because in one town, a man came and stole all the boys in order to
bury them away for his own personal war.
Yeah. What I like is that the myth of Santa doesn't answer the main thing that happened in the first place. He's like, but in your myth, how come he took all the boys?
Well, no, they're not. No,
they're changing that.
They change all that. They don't tell the kid any of that. They just tell him he was jolly old St. Nick who delivered toys to everybody.
Okay, right. Okay. Yeah, yeah. Which I'm down for that. I
think maybe it's like a, hear me out, maybe it's like a 1984 type thing where there is no war.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
right.
But Santa, again, he's taking them to his factory or he's taking them to like whatever, like he has, you know, however, if Santa is the clue.
Is this going to be Santa is Jeff Bezos again? He's taking all the boys for underpaid
it's
labor.
Like a, it's like a Snowpiercer type kind of move. Do you know what I mean? Like
he takes 100 boys every year to help build his God Killer in his factory.
Okay, hold on.
Man, those boys, they built a God Killer down at old Johnny's place. The boys have killed my God.
Guitar solo.
Okay, the idea of Santa wanting to kill God is very good because it's like a response to them being like, Santa Claus is a secular version of Christmas.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
Santa's
yeah.
like, I'm fucking taking this back.
Boy. Man, that Santa, he had a thing against the church.
Yeah. Boy, they burned their souls to kill them.
Okay.
Oh, God, that's great. And it needs like... It needs, like, boy souls to power up the engine.
You guys, I so prefer this because the other thing would have just been Wild Hogs. And this is so much better now that we've given it this candy cane paint job. Fucking love it. This is way better.
Okay. I like his... All right.
I'm just imagining the end. Because now this is definitely going to be a Christian movie. The end is the God Killer is completed.
Yeah,
and he steps in front of it to protect God, but Jesus steps in front of the beam and dies for his sins.
Faith flicks. Faith flicks, are you listening? It's definitely the most Deus in front of Machina I've ever seen.
And then he gets his faith back.
But no matter what, the God Killer has to be turned on.
That. We have yeah,
to
the God Killer turns on. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We have to see it puncture the skies. We have to see the God Killer start working.
It definitely strikes fear into the heart of heaven.
And the main boy has to sacrifice himself as a grown man. He has to sacrifice
himself.
He's
in like a starship and flies in front
hijacks,
of the
beam. He hijacks Santa's spaceship.
His spaceship?
Yes,
Santa's has a spaceship.
Yes.
And his
Santa
mecha.
Claus space station is like the Christmas star that circles around.
It's the star
no
of the
star.
Three wise men. Yeah, yeah. Yes.
Okay.
Oh, the three wise men were originally assassins. Sent by Santa, they followed Santa. Santa was leading.
I'm here to finish the job.
Wait, they were what? I don't
they
know.
They were assassins from Santa to kill Jesus.
Santa sent the three wise men as assassins to kill baby Jesus.
No, no, okay.
I don't know, guys.
We don't need to do. I do like the God Killer, though, and I do like
God
Santa
Killer is so
fighting. Because this is about, I mean, this is about stopping the secularization of Christmas now.
Yeah, I feel like, I feel like whatever Santa's big scheme is, it has to kind of tie into thematically what the war on Christmas is always about. Because if we're using that phrase, then we have to kind of lean into the way Fox News like terms the war on Christmas. It's like, we have to sort of be like, oh, well, it's, you know, it's a war on the values of what Christmas really means. And we invert it by being...
I think, okay, to me then, okay. I think the end... I just like the... Like, I don't know why I'm even trying to make this movie inoffensive to anybody, but... I would do, like, bear with me, like, because this thought occurred to me a while about, like, what is he fighting? It's like, maybe you do what he's fighting is the true meaning of Christmas, right? Like, and it is, like, the, and there is, like, this, it is this, the embodiment of, and it is, like, a, okay, just, all right, just to throw an idea out there as far as Santa Claus's origin story here. Okay. He was chosen to spread joy. That's what, so he was some force in the universe. We can say it was God. We can say it was, you know, like the universe itself, or whatever, gave him the ability to become Santa Claus, right?
Right.
And for a time he spread Christmas joy, but he didn't really truly understand it. And then he made it all about him. It is a metaphor, right? Like he thought he was the meaning of Christmas, right?
Right.
And then, but then he understands that like for, in order for his domination of Christmas to be complete, he has to kill Christmas itself so that it becomes all about Santa Claus. So the war is he's recruiting all the boys to build his God killer laser to because he's found where God lives essentially. Okay. He's found where this pure energy of goodness exists in the universe. It's kind of like a Kingdom Hearts type thing. Uh-huh. And then he's using the God laser to blow it up so that only there will only be Santa.
Okay.
Yeah, he's gonna kill. Yeah, it's a God laser to kill. I guess we'll call it the spirit of Christmas.
The spirit of Christmas.
I don't know
the
if that's spirit. More or less offensive for somebody who truly believes in God to call God the spirit of Christmas. But
I think it's less offensive than the wise men being assassins who were sent
that's
to kill
probably,
Jesus.
Well that part, sure. Play. But
So what I'm going to say is, going back to the lyrics of the song, we have the guy...
that wellspring of
we
inspiration.
We have the narrator of the song, right?
Yes.
And that is the grown man.
Yeah.
And now maybe the person he's singing to is his son. Because when he says, you know, they were asking about you, now, maybe he receives a message that the boys are coming, and they tell him, you know, it's like, hide your son, like, protect your son.
Oh.
And maybe that's how they're asking about him.
Okay.
And he always tells his son these same stories about these boys that he's
run to Dino's, they'll hide you there.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe that's where they were all hiding.
Yeah, they were all
Dino
hiding.
Dino was a kindly old man.
Yeah.
With a big old basement.
In his calf of his bar and grill.
Yeah. Yes.
So when the boys... come
instead
back.
Instead of school.
I think the boys escaped.
Oh,
the
shit.
The boys escaped.
Yeah, the boys probably escaped.
I think the boys escaped Santa's factory, and that's why they're back in town in this version. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's like the town is over. It is a boon from the true spirit of Christmas that the boys have returned to town, right? And like everyone's happy to see the boys again, except the main character who's racked with guilt over what's going on. And so and they're all hiding the boys and stuff like that, you know, like, and he's
and the boys are like, he will come
Santa
for us
Santa
again.
Shows up to steal the main character's son.
Yeah.
And then it comes out that he sold the boys out or whatever, and now he's got to go.
Okay, so this town has all the boys come back, and now the town is essentially tasked with hiding these grown men.
So you could, by the way, you could
Santa.
Well, you could
but
do
then Santa's, but then the stakes are Santa's just going to steal his son.
Well, alternately, here's how you could do it.
It feels like it'd be more. It feels like a bigger complication if the boys were like
here's how you could
army that were like. It just feels like
you have to get them involved in that. So if it's like at like the midway point or whatever, you build up to this happens, and then he's like, ah, shit. Like, I'm so guilty about this, I'm going to do something about it. So then he's the one that breaks them out. So that's like, he's the one who put them in there in the first place so that he's involved in that.
Or
earlier.
You do that the town as a whole feels guilty. Like, the town's like, we're not giving our boys away this time. Like, we're going to fight back and stop Santa from taking the boys or whatever. Mm. And then, but that would imply that the town feels like they just let them down or whatever. It feels like the most interesting would be the boys come back and everybody's excited because, and then they're like back and they seem normal. But this guy, like, again, it would be creepier if they come back. It's like, hey, buddy, how's it going? Long time no see. And then it's like, they know what he did. And he's like, they don't trust them. Like, they aren't acting. It's like, what do you mean? They're happy to be back. They finished Santa's work. They're here. He's like, no, there's something. Santa's work is never done. like, and the boys are back.
It's like they hate him.
Yonder star still shines. Santa has not killed the god.
Like, while everybody's asleep, he hears weird, like, choir and Christmas carols, and all the boys are, like, meeting late in the woods, and he's trying to tell the town they don't believe him, and they're like... And then eventually he has to, in order to try to convince them, he like tells them why he's suspicious of them. So he tells them the story, and then everybody hates him for it, and they banish him from the town. And now it's like, is he just going to leave the town, or is he going to come back and save the town because he knows what Santa's up to?
I have an idea.
Mm-hmm.
Bear with me. What if... Okay. Because I keep circling back to this lyric. The nights are getting warmer. It won't be long until summer comes now that the boys are here again, right?
Oh. Mm-hmm.
So maybe, hear me out, Santa only has power and dominion over winter.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a winter is coming type thing.
Yeah.
And his laser is for blotting out the sun so that the earth, it'll
perma winter
forever.
Hey.
Okay. So then what you do is it's
pretty,
like,
pretty good.
That's pretty
so
good.
So what it is, it's a battle of, okay, so this will be very pagan and secular, but what you do is each there's like the Easter Bunny owns spring.
Yeah.
And Santa owns winter.
I buy
that. And the turkey owns fall or whatever, and summer is
the god of the Christmas season. Yeah.
So yes, he's gonna blow out the sun and make it Christmas all
that's
all
why,
year long.
That's
so
why
owns,
the moment
so
Thanksgiving
he'll rule the world of all four.
And that's
seasons.
Why when Thanksgiving ends, the moment Thanksgiving ends, Christmas stuff hits him because he's like, it is my time to rule.
Yeah. Now, and I like the idea of, so if Santa's coming back for just this one kid, I feel like this kid has a special purpose.
Mm-hmm.
It's like there's some prophecy. It's like the one child, you know, like the, like your progeny will be the one that fuels my God killer. Mm-hmm. Like it's the kid, for whatever reason, is the last puzzle piece that Santa needs. Mm-hmm. And so what happens is at first the dad and the son like leave, like they leave the town. They're trying to like get away. And at some point the son tells the dad, like, no, we have to stop running. Like, you know, we need to face our fears. And these two boys go back in town to, like, save the day.
Oh, they're also the boys that are back in town.
And that's when
he gets exiled or whatever because he was a traitor. And
can I throw an idea out there? Slightly different, but bear with me. You would do that Santa needs one last boy of pure heart. And there's no boys of pure heart in the world anymore because Santa has blinded them with his cruel plan,
wow.
Right?
Yeah, okay.
Like, everyone's like, what the fuck, Santa? Like, you've taken all the joy in there. But this one boy still believes in the magic of Christmas, right? And that's why he needs that pure heart to build his God killer laser to blot out the sun to make it Christmas all the time.
Yeah.
Okay, so you would do... He made a deal with the main guy to save his son, right?
Yeah. Yep.
He makes a deal with the boys... he lets them come back to town if they bring him this pure-hearted child, so they can return.
Was the reason they got to come back the whole time.
Exactly. That was part of that was the dark deal they made with Santa Claus. That's why none of them can look the guy in the eye. He's like, oh God, they all know, and they do all know, but it's also because like they're here for like to steal his son.
Exactly. And for them, it's sort of like a revenge thing, but then they see how bad it feels. You know, to steal someone's son. So they're conflicted too.
But why should, why should the sins of the father pass on to the son?
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Like, it's not his fault, right?
Yeah.
And so then and they don't know what the Santa needs with the boy, right? And so they figure that out. And then you would do again, like it's after, because now he realizes these guys are trying to abduct his son, right?
Santa needs a pure boy. And pure in this case means a boy who never believed in Santa. And he knew that if he let this kid. Like, his son never believed in Santa, because the moment he was born, he's like, Santa's a monster. Like, there's no such thing. Like, he knew. So, like, he needs a boy that is so...
So dark of heart.
So dark with no Christmas spirit that's like
the power
for the God or whatever it is. He's like, I knew your boy would never love me.
Or maybe the kid is both, because he has a positive and a negative charge. So he's like a true battery for...
Okay, so here's what I like about that, because then it becomes like a mysterious, it's like the French movie The Return, right, where like all the dead people come back.
Yeah, yeah.
So yeah, you do it. At first he's like, oh, all the boys are super weird, right? And they're being weird, and they're adults, and they're odd, and they don't say, and then he sees them like, the son is curious, because the son, the only man he's ever known is his father, right? There's no other boys in town.
Yeah.
So then he's spending time with all of these men, right?
Yeah.
And then like, they keep like taking him away, and he keeps having to find him, and he's like, guys, these fucking dudes are trying to abduct my son, don't you see what's going on? They're like, just be happy. Yeah, I know you're not the only boy in town anymore, but just be happy that the boys are back. And so then you would do, sure enough, it's like the son's abducted, so the son goes missing and he's trying to find him, right?
Yeah.
And then he finds out the boys abducted him and gave him to Santa Claus. Yeah. And then you would do, collectively, they discover what Santa Claus is going to do. And so he has to atone for his sin of selling them out to get them to help him break into Santa's workshop to stop the God Killer Laser.
To stop the God Killer Laser. Okay.
And then
does
he convince Santa that the reason Christmas is special is because it only comes around once a year? And if it was all the time, Christmas wouldn't be special anymore.
It's true.
Or does he just kill Santa?
I think he's got to kill that fucker.
Oh, no. Santa,
he teaches Santa the
Santa real... does that fucking Doc Ock shit.
Mm-hmm.
Santa, at the last minute, he has the change of heart. And then it's Santa who brings down the God Killer Laser and obliterates himself.
Whoa.
And then his boy becomes the new Santa.
Santa transfers his Santa powers to the new boy.
Yeah.
Who becomes the new Santa.
Santa. And he's got to let go of his son.
Yeah. And he's like, away. Goodbye, father.
Goodbye.
Wow.
I will be a benevolent Santa.
It's like a Santa Claus that skips a generation to make it to just twist the knife extra deep.
Or should he become Santa?
No, I like the kid becoming Santa because he still, he still pays the price, right, for what he did. He loses his child, but it's not in a fucked up way.
He loses his 9-year-old child, that child becomes a god.
Yeah.
Also, the dancer who was red hot, can that just be like his ex-wife or something?
Yeah, he's definitely divorced, right?
Yeah, he's definitely divorced. Man, she was red hot. Dad, you're talking about mom.
When I say that, I mean she was steaming. About 20 minutes left, folks.
Oh, we did it. Can we just play the song 5 times in a row?
To walk through it.
What's
right?
The act?
All right. Let's, so act one, we start with, and again, we're in.
There's a teaser at the beginning, right?
Yes. We have our cold open of the boys hiding from Santa in Dino's Bar and Grill, and then the main character running out into the snow to get his toy.
The Twister opening, but instead of a tornado, it's Santa. Instead of one family, it's all the boys of a town.
Oh, yeah. You know what you could do to kind of get the anecdotes in the right spot? You could do, he was like the younger brother of like one of the older boys.
Yeah, right.
So he was hanging around when they, and that's why he thought they were the coolest dudes on earth.
Yeah, that's right. There you go.
Yeah, so it would be like, he was at, he was at the
party fighting age
with the girl at Johnny's place and the fighting. And
he knows
those
stories. He knows those stories.
Yeah. So he, he runs out of, he gets scared and runs out of Dino's to go get his toy. And then, yes, he comes face to face with Santa Claus himself. Mm-hmm. And Santa, he sells out Santa to save his own
life. Oh, by the way, you could also do a thing where they're like, he wasn't allowed to be with his brother. And when he shows up, he's like, what's the main character's name?
I got one from our story break names list. Prepped and ready to go, our main character.
I thought
for
the
this
name
one.
Was Prepton.
It was Prepton.
That's fucking good. Ready to go.
Prepton?
That's his brother's name. That's his
Prepton. The son is Prepton.
The son is Prepton, okay. But we have Nathan Hardwick.
Okay.
Nathan Hardwick.
Nathan, like, stop trying to hang out at the bar. You're 9. You don't want to grow up too fast. He's like, I want to grow up. And then it's like, no, man, when you're grown up, you go to war. Anyways, so then his brother throws the toy out. You might even see the brother throws the toy outside. So there's a little bit of like a karmic.
There comes a time to put aside childish things.
Oh, yeah, they're all trying to get him to drink.
Yeah.
So watch drink. It, it is.
Grow old with us.
Then he goes out, and then he's angry at his brother, and he goes, all the boys are in the bar. And so he's like, thank you, child.
He abducts the boys.
He abducts all the boys.
Question, when they come back, have they aged into older men, too, or have they not aged at all, and they just come back?
Or is it like a Peter Pan thing?
Yeah.
I mean, if they're the Peter Pan thing, then definitely everybody would be pretty suspicious of it, right?
Yeah. I mean,
I feel like they're
out.
Men now.
Yeah, okay,
they're
men. Right. Everybody's just happy that they're back.
Yeah, they're thrilled the boys are back.
Yes.
So, okay, so yes.
What's his problem at the beginning before the boys come back? What's happening? With
so
him he can't connect with his son, obviously.
Yeah, I feel like it's probably. So he's still got the guilt over what he did,
yes,
right?
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe he's never grown up.
That's true.
Do you know what I mean? Like I still wonder what would it be like for this kid who was the only boy in his town, right?
Yeah.
Like the, and again, I would imagine that he's, he was, so like question one is how old is he at the beginning of the thing?
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, is he like,
I feel like a lot of the girls probably also left town. Just left.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's more of a ghost town now than ever before.
It's just him and his son living by themselves in a shack.
Well, but like,
and then all the boys come back.
Well, I'll say this. There's likely, if the family's in there, may just be like, if this is a common thing in the world, they'd be like, I guess we gotta make more kids. You know what I mean? Like, he may be way
guess
older.
We should go back to having sex.
So act one usually is a fuck fest. Don't. We cut in on.
We just cut in on just hardcore.
I think, well, again, it's like, you're like, cool, I'm the only boy in town, but everyone else like is grieving over their lost sons and husbands and brothers.
Yeah, they'll get over it.
They'll get over it.
But I do think the town has fallen on really hard times, because if you don't have boys, you don't have like
half
the economy. Yeah. Yeah, you don't have half the workforce or economy. So
a different version of this would be he was the same age as all the boys. All the boys are taken. And when you come back 30 years later, he has all the kids in the town are his son.
He has kids all over town out of necessity.
Okay, that's it for sure. He's a bad dad to all of them.
Santa's gonna come.
He's the ultimate.
And take all of his boys.
And like his 10th child is about to be born, and it's like when the 10th comes, that's the prophecy. It's like Santa will gather the 10.
I like the idea of this. I like the idea of this town with one man. I mean, this is messed up. There's just like 70 boys, and like, oh my kids.
It's like first you just have a scene of like it's a tight shot of a dad and his son, and he's like, hey, so are you excited for the Christmas parade? And the son's like, I don't really care, dad. And then you hear like, yeah, me neither. And you keep panning out, and this truck is actually like 70 seats wide. He's driving the world's widest truck.
He's just
crashing through buildings.
He's just driving a school bus.
You have 70 kids all having to go through the same. My dad is really embarrassing.
All right, whose mom is this? Everybody, whose mom this is, get out. Get out of the car. Go on the next
one.
Okay, sorry.
Being a single dad to 70 kids is hard.
70 moms is hard.
He buys a zoo.
It's tough being the only dad in this town. Sorry.
Jesus. Okay, so when the boys come back, do they throw a parade for the boys?
Sure, they can.
I feel like that's a big set piece.
Like a military parade. Building, whether, I don't know if he has 70 children or not.
It's like a why the last
time. I like how we broke Will enough so that he's like, well, okay, I don't know if he has 70 children or not. He's trying to hedge his bets.
He's struggling to raise his kid in this weird town, and the kid is like, where are all the other boys? Where are the people like me and you, dad? Mm-hmm. I think maybe the kid's starting to ask questions, right? And I think that probably stresses him out too, you know? Mm-hmm. And maybe he's thinking of sending the kid away to another town so he can grow up around other boys his own age, right? Yeah. They're like
this female influence is making my boy lame.
He's an asshole. Your fault, motherfucker.
So he's conflicted, right? Yeah. And then, so yes, you would do the boys show, but he's also like the king of town, right? Like he's the cool guy, right?
Because
he's the only guy. And then all the boys show up, right? And then everyone throws this big parade, and suddenly he's not so special anymore.
Yeah, and tearful
it's like a
families
Toy Story
reunite.
When Buzz Lightyear shows up.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. He's not
so good. In this version, all these boys, oh, I guess they were young when they were taken.
They were in there like probably 16 or something.
Okay, yeah, they weren't married or anything.
No.
Okay. All the boys come back and they're like, oh, good. None of these women got married. They all waited for us. There's no men in this town.
You would probably do, he has like a, because I like that the dude's a bit of a nerd. You know, like I would imagine that he, you know, like again, like he has a kid. Maybe his wife died or something like that, or she left to go to another town, or I don't know what you do. Mm. But the, you could do maybe he has a little burgeoning romance with someone in town, and then, or he's just cheating on his wife. And you do like when the boys come back again, that's another thing that's kind of threatened in his status quo. And that's why everyone thinks he's just jealous of the boys when he starts like, hey, right. These boys are weird, right?
Exactly. He's so like, something's wrong with these boys. And the rest sounds like, shut up. You're just, you know, yeah, you're just jealous because now we have more men.
We're just
town,
happy that these seven lumberjacks came down and now we finally have husbands.
Santa needed seven strong lumberjack boys.
Maybe you do like, because again, it's like he's a jerk, right? And he's going to learn his lesson by the end of the movie. Maybe at the beginning, it's like he is in this, like, he's in a shitty relationship, right? Mm-hmm. And they have this kid that he doesn't take care of, and he doesn't respect his wife. He doesn't treat her well, right? And then, like, he's like, well, what are you going to do? I'm the only option you got, or something like that.
Right.
And then all the other boys come back, and he's like, oh, fuck, I got to get my act together. My wife's going to leave me. I don't know.
You just wait, Nathan. Someday they're going to develop some sort of technology where I can drive to a different location and find myself a man. And when that day comes, you're going to have nobody. He's like, yeah, well, that day's not yet, because this is 1900s, and nobody could leave.
And when the boys show up, so they throw a parade, and he gets really jealous, so he, like, steals the cane from, like, the parade leader and tries to, like, lead the parade. It all falls terribly on his face.
He looks like a big old asshole, yeah.
And then that night, you know, like, he's nursing his tears he's nursing his wounds with a beer over at Dino's or whatever.
Or a hot cocoa.
And he's
like the baby in Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs.
Exactly. Yes. That's who he is. Yes. Yeah. Yeah, the baby.
That's essentially who he is.
And then he gets a note from, like, one of the boys, like, meet us. You know, it's like he meets up with them.
This handwriting. It's a boy's.
It's a boy's. This handwriting must be, what is this weird language? Do you know how to read this? Wait a second, that's boy's handwriting.
Or maybe they don't seek him out, but either way, that we need to get him to figure out, like, what they're doing here. And so he spies on them and he sees what's going to happen, which is, you know, Santa is coming. He's going to come for his boy.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so I think
they're clearing a landing strip in the woods.
Okay. could you do, maybe it's not literally his son, hear me out, you would do that, just as I'm trying to, like, what is, like, your correlation? You do something kind of fun and cute with it. You do that. It's like, he was this kid, right? He's the 9-year-old boy. Everyone got abducted, but there was a woman in town who was pregnant, and her, you know, husband left or whatever. So now, like, it's him, and then this, like, there was just a baby, right? That was, like, a baby boy was born, and he's the only other boy in town, so this little kid follows him around everywhere and looks up to him like a dad, essentially, right? Okay. And so then, like, he's, again, like, this brat, you know, kind of doofus, just, like, who's, like, again, like, a, you know, sort of privileged, spoiled idiot, and then he has this sort of, like, burgeoning relationship with this young kid. But then you do all the other boys show up, right? And then maybe, yeah, he's suspicious of them. He's like, something weird is going on. Maybe he sends the boy, like, his young ward, to spy on the other boys. Maybe he sends a little Prepton to be like, figure out what they're up to. They all really want to hang out with you or something like that.
I can see that. Okay. So I had everything about this movie is problematic. Sorry in advance, but I was just trying to think of a way to make the plot make kind of sense. Is that you do one of the things in this town is before all the boys were taken, it's like Christmas is a big deal for this town, especially since I guess Santa can come and take all their children. But it's like the women in the town, they decorate the whole town, and there's a big feast on Christmas. And the boys, their job was always to go cut down the biggest Christmas tree and put it in the center of town. And he's the only guy, and he's gotten to the point where he's like, nah, fuck it. I'm not cutting down a Christmas tree. He's just this asshole. They're like, where's our Christmas tree? And when the boys come back, the first thing they're like, oh, we're going to go in the woods and chop down a Christmas tree. But that Christmas tree is actually the God Laser.
Wait,
right. What? Well, you need a God Laser. So it's actually, they're constructing a God Laser in the middle of town. They're like, don't worry, this is going to be the biggest Christmas tree of the time. And the town's all happy because all the men are back and they're making a big Christmas tree. And the guy's like, you don't understand. That's not just a Christmas tree. They're making a God Laser.
They have the
blueprints.
So
they're building
the God Laser. They're building the God Laser. That's like your ticking clock.
So they're not rebelling against Santa. They're like hypnotized?
Yeah, I think they're helping Santa.
Yeah, they're helping Santa.
Definitely helping Santa.
Okay, all right.
Santa's like, if you do this, I'll let you live at home when you can.
And then everybody else is like, you're just jealous. You're just jealous because you became an asshole and you stopped cutting down the Christmas tree and you stopped being cool. And now all the boys are back and they're doing everything you were supposed to be doing. And we all like them. And you're just jealous. It's like, no, I'm telling you, they don't really care about Christmas. They're constructing a God Laser. And they're like, okay, you're insane.
Okay, that's very good. So then it's his. So your second. So, okay. All right. I love that. I love that they come back to do something. And then, yes, that's a classic act one. That's what everyone's mad at him. He's like the mayor or something that, right? Like, he's like the sheriff of the town or whatever. He has some sort of like poet. He's like the only boy in town, right?
Yeah.
So he has some
minutes,
duty.
Will. Five minutes.
He has some duty that he's supposed to be doing that he's not doing. He's like, I don't want to do it. It takes like 20 people to do that. I'm lazy, right? He's gotten content. The boys show up and they're like, well, we're going to do it, right? We're going to build the Santa's village or whatever, right?
Yeah.
But they're really building the God Laser, right? Okay. And he doesn't trust them. And he's like, these guys are fucking weird. Yeah. And so then he starts poking around trying to figure out what they're up to, right?
Yeah.
And he's teaming in. The little kid who he always ignores, right, and treats like shit is now his way to do that, right? Because the boys are welcoming to this child. Yes. They're super nice to the kid because really they're going to sacrifice him.
And then
he's so self-interested
and just like self-absorbed, he doesn't take for a second to question why they're friendly to his child.
Yeah,
like they're all angry at him, and you know, but like why he's like oh good, perfect, they like you, go ahead, sneak in and figure out what they're up to, and not being like, well, clearly they need your kid for something.
Yeah.
He's the center of the God
Laser.
Oh,
you could even do
that.
Do
you have like a Cyrano de Bergerac kind of thing where he's like whispering in the kid's ear?
I was going to say, he disguises himself as another boy who's the kid's friend, right?
Yeah.
Like, so then he also has to spend time with his, you know, sort of like with his son, right? And as a friend, right? So it's like, I'm going to be your friend Tony from the other town over. Like, and he wears a backpack and a backwards baseball cap.
Yeah. And like, there's a whole scene where he's like trying to fit in with the other boys telling stories.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, what? Dino's playing? What the fuck are you talking about? Okay. Yeah, he's trying to pretend that he's self-insertion. And then at some point he's got to try and burn down the tree and it doesn't work.
Yeah,
he's caught.
I think he tries to burn down the tree and
he gets banished. He gets banished from the town. They're like, what the fuck? You tried to burn down the tree, like you piece of shit. The kid's like, I thought you were cool, but the boys are cool, right?
Yeah.
And then the boys abduct the kid and like they tie him up like to the top of the tree, right? Yeah. Like he's going to be
the star this year.
Like the final, like the battery.
Or maybe we do the thing that like Santa told them to come here and build this thing. He didn't tell them what it was or what. They don't know exactly what this thing is going to do.
Right.
And so when they find out, they're like, oh shit.
Yeah.
Like, and then especially then, because the twist is Santa's going to take the child. And maybe they didn't even realize he was going to take the kid. Or like, they knew the kid was going to be involved or whatever. I don't
know. Nathan gets cast aside and he gets banished from the town. And for a second, he's like, well, you know what? This is what he wanted deep down. Yeah. He didn't want the responsibility. He didn't want to deal with anything. Now he's got an excuse to leave his kid.
Character moment.
But then he meets the Easter Bunny, the turkey.
God damn it.
And they're like, you fool, don't you understand what Santa's trying to do?
An eternal winter?
Make it win eternal winter.
The Council
He's like,
of
whatever,
Four.
I don't care. Winter's cool with me. It means I'm cold and alone, and that's how I like it.
Easter Bunny's like, for me personally, an eternal winter would be disastrous.
So I like that he goes out in the woods, and again, yes, he has a sort of
He has that crisis of faith. He's like, this is what you wanted, right? It's like that act two low point.
Yeah, that long, and dark night of the,
And he comes back, and the boys are back in town. The boy is back in town. He comes in, saves the day, but his son becomes the new Santa.
this is the dumbest movie.
Yeah,
ever.
Okay.
But
yes.
He turns it off the last second, and the boy needs to be shooting a laser out of his mouth like Mila Jovovich in The Fifth Element.
The Fifth Element was Christmas. So yeah, I think it would be like he and the other boy. Because again, like I think it's almost like he realizes that he's just as when. Oh yes, yeah, so I think he meets. I think you're right. I think he does meet the Easter Bunny and Jack. Well, what was the
Jack Skellington?
And Turkey Man, Turkey right?
What if you're missing Summer? You're missing Summer.
Yeah, we're missing Summer. Okay. We got Fall and Spring.
Fall, Spring, and board shorts.
Beach Boys.
Beach Boy.
Boys.
Brian Wilson from the Beach Boys.
Yes, Brian Wilson.
The God of Summer.
Jimmy Buffett. So he meets Jimmy Buffett and the Easter Bunny and Turkey Man. And
Jimmy Buffett has like a squad of parrots that he like flies on.
It's like you're just all these parrots converging.
Jimmy
they Buffett form him.
So
stepped on a pup top.
They tell him about the Council of Four, what happened to their friend Santa Claus, right?
Yeah.
He realizes, like, oh my God, I'm just like Santa Claus, right? Like, Santa Claus was this nice dude, but then he got it too big for himself, and he thought that he was special and above it all. And I'm just like that. I'm not special. I just got lucky, right? Like, so, like, I have to go back. Like, he learns the lesson, right? So then he goes in. He convinces the boys to help him stop Santa Claus from firing the laser, right? All of them together, like, there's a big battle, and the Santa Claus is going to win.
Blood is spilled. He gives
the last little speech that's like telling Santa Claus the true meaning of Christmas, and he shows him the toy, or like he's got some. Again, the guys in the woods, Jimmy Buffett gives him like the lump of coal that Santa got as a kid that made him go bad. Right? And then he's like, it's not your fault, Santa, blah, blah, blah. Like, you know, it's the true meaning of Christmas, yada, yada, et cetera. Santa Claus has his Doc Ock moment, sacrifices himself, and passes on the gift of being the Christmas god to the new
kid. I love this ending. I have a pitch for a different take on the ending. Okay. In terms of
a minute, dogs. You have like a minute.
Okay, here's my this would be my because he took away these boys' life, right? And you do as he starts learning about these boys, they're like, oh man, all I really wanted was just to have a kid of my own and stuff, right? Mm-hmm. And he was always a bad dad, so the ultimate Christmas gift he can give at the end is he gives all those boys a son, and he gives his son he takes away one bad dad and replaces it with 80 good dads, and he becomes Santa. He sacrifices himself, becomes Santa, because he's got the true Christmas spirit, and then his son now has 80 awesome dads, and all these dads who lost their entire childhood are now back in town, and they have a son to raise together.
And that's the song you go out on.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And the boys are back with their new son.
The boys are back with their son, so this kid gets 80 good dads.
And the boys are back with son.
The boys are back with son.
And you're like, you know what? This Santa's going to be good, because this guy knows the true danger of being too bad of a Santa.
Well,
because
then you do the thing, right, where like he takes the bullet of the God Killer laser and blows it up, and then he's lying dead on the ground, and the kid's crying over him, right?
It's Pokemon.
And it's a Pokemon ending, but the kid wishes to the spirit of Christmas to save his dad, right? Yeah. And then the spirit of Christmas like enters his father, essentially, right? And he becomes the new Santa Claus.
Yeah. And he's and for Christmas this year, you get 80 good dads.
And then for you get, you get 80 good
and
dads.
And all of you share one kid. They're like, all right, okay. Let's go play ball. They all start playing football together.
In the climax, when Santa is telling the boys, he's like, none of you could possibly stop me. Don't even try. The main character should be like, if these boys want to fight, you better let them.
Well,
that's it.
I think that's our Christmas movie of the boys are back.
The boys are back in town.
That fucking works.
Merry Christmas.
Damn it. All fucking cylinders.
We're gonna take a quick break, simmer on that a little bit, and we'll be right back.
Hey, if you like your podcast to be focused and well-researched and your podcast host to be uncharismatic, unhorny strangers who have no interest in horses, then this is not the podcast for you.
Yeah, and what's your deal? I'm Emily.
I'm Lisa.
Our show's called Baby Geniuses.
And its hosts are horny adult idiots. We discover weird Wikipedia pages every episode.
We discuss institutional misogyny.
We ask each other the dumbest questions, and our listeners won't stop sending us pictures of their butts.
We haven't asked them to stop, but they also aren't stopping.
Join us on Baby Geniuses
every other week on MaximumFun.org.
And now, a Story Break movie trailer.
Guess who just got back today? Them wild-eyed boys that Santa took away. Yeah, they're the ones that I betrayed. Oh, yikes, I think they know my secret. I used to be the town's only boy. Well, cause I sold all the others out for a toy. I guess there's no use in being coy. Yeah, I'm pretty much a big old scumbag. The boys are back in town. The boys are gonna kidnap my son. The boys are back in town. The boys are gonna kidnap my son. The boys are back in town. The boys are gonna kidnap my son. The boys are back in town. The boys are gonna kidnap my son.
Haha, yeah, hey, look, I gotta say, it's been pretty nice. Honestly, being the only dude here, although I think I might be everybody's dad, maybe? Not clear.
You know that chick that used to dance a lot? Well, still haven't figured out how to get her in the plot. Let's give the old Bechdel test a shot. Aw, dang, this flick is pretty bro-y. That laser in the forest blasting out the nuke. The sun and Nats are getting cold, but it won't be long. Won't be long till the winter comes. Now that the boys built the God Killer, the boys are back in town. The boys are gonna blow up the sun. The boys are back in town. The boys are gonna blow up the sun. The boys are back in town. The boys are gonna blow up the sun. The boys are back in town. The boys are gonna blow up the sun.
Ho 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 ho! It's me, the son of Nathan Hardwig. And now, thanks to the power of soul transference, the new Santa Claus. Oh, ho, ho. That's like my job now. I guess I have it forever because I believed in Christmas super good. So if you believe in Christmas too, maybe you could one day be Santa Claus. Oh, ho, ho, sure, why not? Oh, ho, ho.
Welcome back. We haven't heard the song, but I'm sure it's a pretty good song. thank you again, Brian. For
Man.
Yeah, no worries, guys. Man. Happy to join you once again.
Nice to have you back across the pond.
Yeah, it's always good to be back. Everyone's asking what's going to happen to VGHS season 4.
Well,
and I always tell them check the internet tomorrow for hot news. I tell them every time, like, go online tomorrow.
You just tell them, like, actually check my YouTube channel every day.
Yeah,
that's where
the announcement's going to be on my dead YouTube channel.
Speaking of YouTube channels, so, like, Brian, what are you working on right now, man?
Well, I've got a couple kind of irons in the fire with my co-writer, Alec Owen, from 5 Second Films. We've been working on some stuff there, which is, like, unfortunately, it's not the kind of thing I can talk about. But
what always the best.
But yeah, I still do my Sega CD Twitter. I think this week I'm gonna take out requests for Sega CD games, like I did last year under the guise of Santa CD, and he's like a Santa Claus who, you know, you talk about your favorite Sega CD game, and then I'll make it for you. That's basically what it is. So
very
yeah, I'll be good. Doing that.
Very good.
You know, I'm working on a new Medium article where I didn't do a very good job promoting these viral Scrug nuggets for the Ballad of Buster Scruggs. been mulling that one over a lot. So yeah, you know, you can follow me on Medium. You can follow me on Twitter.
Where is that? Where do I find
So on Medium, I'm Mr. Brian Frenzy. My personal Twitter is Mr. Brian Frenzy, and of course, Sega CD Games is my Sega CD Games Twitter.
Excellent.
Oh, so, yeah.
Excellent.
All right.
Well, how's the fan art looking like?
The fan art this week, we got some choice stuff. Thanks to Iken Bean for sending us a really wonderful Story Break doodle featuring characters from our Where's Waldo episode, Teen James Bond, and the dad and daughter from Creepy Crawlers. So thanks very much to Iken Bean. Thanks as well to Merzi Marzipan for sending us a really cute drawing from I Chocula featuring our three wayward serial hawking monsters playing a little game of William Tell. And then as well, we got a new piece of, we actually got a written piece of fan fiction from Zach Lubner, who did the opening scene of our Frasier reboot. So it's very funny. And that'll all be up on the Storybreak Twitter account at RJ Storybreak. And you can also join our Facebook group, Storybreak Podcast.
Yep. And that's
bit.ly/storybreakfb. All right.
Cool.
That's going to do it for us this week. We're going to have some interesting episodes coming up, just so that you folks know, because various people are out of town for the holidays here and there. So we're going to have some special guests. We may have a person you definitely have heard the name of showing up in this one, and not in the way you might think.
A much bigger and more important guest than Brian.
We have a whole bunch of other guests. We have a bunch of other guests.
We're going to have some really special guests next week.
But thank you again,
Will
Brian.
Smith.
William Smith. Thank you again, Brian, for joining us for this for our weekly insanity.
Happy to be here, guys.
You can find Brian at the aforementioned Twitter spots. Mm-hmm. Thank you also to Maximum Fun for having us on the podcast network and Cameron Covell for slicing and dicing these episodes. Brian, we do a little round robin thing to finish this off.
Well, guys, that's it for Story Break. And until next week, I
am
the
greatest
Christmas
boy
who
fights
at
Dino's.
Happy holidays, everyone.
All right.
I'm Bailiff Jesse Thorne.
And I'm Judge John Hodgman.
If you live on the west coast of North America, we're coming your way.
That's right. Judge John Hodgman is taking justice to the west coast on tour. Starting where?
Vancouver, British Columbia, January 15th. Then to Seattle, Washington on the 16th. Portland, Oregon on the 17th. San Francisco, California on the 18th. And Los Angeles, California, the City of Angels, on January 22nd. Tickets are on sale now. You can find links to all of the shows at MaximumFun.org. And if you're going to be in one of those cities and you have a dispute we can try on stage, send it to us. Just go to MaximumFun.org/JJHO or email Hodgman at MaximumFun.org.
I'm ready to judge you on the road. Take that, Jack Kerouac, author of On the Road. MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.